with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here's your host, Timmy Abebefe, on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back. It is hour number two. We're coming in hot here on the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe alongside Mike Palm, the VP of Operations here at the Circa Resort and Casino. Mike Pritchard, our recent NFL analyst, played nearly a decade in the National Football League, former first-round pick to the Atlanta Falcons and a national champion with the Colorado Buffaloes. Gentlemen, we broke down the AFC title game in the last segment. If you missed that, make sure you check it out in podcast form. Just search Lombardi Line wherever you get your podcasts. Let's turn our attention to the NFC title game. And I think this one will be a little bit spicy to kick off this hour number two as the 49ers host the Detroit Lions. And right now at DraftKings, it's 7.5, but still, I'd say the consensus is still 7, heavily juiced towards the Niners. The total has ticked up from a couple of days ago. Now we're seeing 51.5, the consensus number, but 52 is also in the market as well. As I guess, how did you guys kind of handicap this game? Detroit now with their first road playoff game after winning 2 at home, and the Niners coming off of escaping, surviving the Green Bay Packers last Saturday night.
Well, we're on opposite sides here, Femi, so let's hear what Fritch has to say.
Yeah, I mean, 3 to 4 teams in the Final Four here run the same offense, right? Now you got to match up with these two teams that are running identical offense. And if you look at the rosters, there's not a big difference. There's not a big difference in the roster. I mean, I know Christian McCaffrey is phenomenal, but I mean, Gibbs has had an incredible year. They got a 1-2 punch. What separates the 49ers certainly is their fullback and their tight end. Now, Laporta is an incredible, incredible player, a young player. But what Kyle does with his personnel, Detroit's trying to do, but they're not there yet, right? They can't dress it up as much as Kyle can. I think 49ers run into a defense, though, or run into a problem with the 3-4 defense. I mentioned that on the other side with the AFC and the massive amount of meat in the middle of that field. It takes away the inside zone. Like, if you run a true nose tackle, it's hard to run inside zone, which we know the 49ers want to do. Now, you got that with Detroit, and I don't know if that offensive line is good enough to navigate that. So take away inside zone. Now you're talking about counter. Now you're talking about gap. Now you're talking about outside zone. 49ers is the best outside zone running team maybe ever. What Kyle has evolved from Mike with that running game, it's incredible. It really is. And now you got
a better running game than you had with Terrell Davis.
Well, Terrell was no. I don't think it's a better running game than
different.
That. It's different. Yeah. Because now Christian does a lot more than Terrell did. Right. And so now you can dress it up even more. And Debo is going to be a part of that. The dress up is everything with the 49ers because they essentially run the same thing. And Detroit's going to understand that. They're going to know that. I can't get there with laying it with the 49ers.
Is that the side you, if I put a gun to your head, you would lay it instead
I would,
of take it?
My bet probably would be first half Detroit. Because I'm thinking we might get a good 30 minutes from Jared Goff. Not 60 minutes, but a good 30 minutes.
Will Campbell take the ball if he wins the flip? He took the ball when 3 and out against Tampa.
Yeah.
Put yourself in a hole already.
In 30 seconds, you did.
But you have both quarterbacks that don't like bad weather, right? I mean, that kind of thing.
And who would you rather have as your quarterback Goff in this game?
I would.
Yeah, see?
If you put Goff.
Yeah, every which way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Goff. You just heard it from the man. Goff.
I heard it, but I don't have to agree. But I heard it.
Yeah. No, I would. Yeah. No,
respect your elders.
That's right.
People just call him a grandpa over here. Hour number
kids'
one.
Grandpa used to watch him in Atlanta.
Did. That's right. He did.
What's his name?
Aaron Ladd.
He was great.
He wasn't even born when I was playing, by the way. I don't think.
No, yeah. I know. Yeah. That's why I made sure he wasn't when I asked. Do you remember?
We all got to meet up. If the Chiefs win, we got to meet up with him in Vegas for Super Bowl weeks.
Absolutely.
Have him bring some Arthur Bryant's. Those ribs are the best.
Honestly.
Have you ever had Arthur Bryant's in Kansas City?
Now we're off the rails.
No.
What?
I can't remember who I had in Kansas City. I've had so many ribs in Kansas City, though.
If Detroit wins this game, which player will have made the biggest difference? I have an answer to this question.
Gibbs.
I'm going to say Aiden Hutchinson.
That's what I would have said.
Because I think they have to disrupt Purdy because their pass defense is not good enough to hold up. Even if they took away the run, even if they limited McCaffrey, Debo's not healthy. I don't know. Their pass defense is just not with it. I mean, if you want to say what's the weakest thing of all the units, it's the Detroit pass defense. Yeah. Not over, they're overall defense.
Not just this weekend, but might have been the entire playoffs. Right. Honestly,
I know that's a big part of your handicap.
I mean, San Francisco's pass defense, though, isn't something to write home about, especially that secondary.
If you can block them.
Yeah. And here you go. Here you go. Matchups, right?
Yeah.
So Bosa doesn't travel unless they're going to have a plan for him to play on the other side, because you got Chase Young and he doesn't play the other side, right? So now Bosa's going to be up against Penei Sewell.
Yeah.
Hutchinson travels because of a 3-4 defense. Yeah. He goes from left to right, and that is going to be a problem for San Francisco.
Yeah, because Trent Williams is all world, but the other side,
right,
McKivitz or whatever, it's like it'll be shaky at times. I think, and that's why I think Hutchinson has to be. If Hutchinson plays the game of his life, the Lions are live to win this game. Mm. I think, because that's how you are able to disrupt what Purdy in that passing game is able to do. I just don't think it'll be enough, and the Detroit Lions pass defense, and I get it, like they've won these games, but they've given up so many yards down, not just in the playoffs, but this goes back the second half of the season. I mean, Nick Mullins threw for 300 plus in both games when they played this Detroit Lions defense. Dak Prescott shredded them. Like we saw like all these quarterbacks have so much success, and then Stafford did it, then Mayfield did it. Why is that going to change now that you're facing the most efficient passing attack all season long and what the Niners were able to do? I think this can be a big Purdy game. This is a big bounce back for him after everyone's been clamoring, saying, oh, Purdy's not good after what we saw on Saturday night. I think they're going to have their way. Big game for Ayuk, big game for Kittle. I think this Niners offense, after not looking crisp last week, I think has one of those performances where they remind everybody why they were the team that we all thought they were during the regular season.
I took 7. I disagree with Femi here. I think that Detroit has the superior offensive line, run-blocking offensive line to Green Bay, and Green Bay ran the ball effectively against San Francisco. I think Ragnow and Sewell, they will be able to run. That's the key. If they can't run the ball, forget it. Goff is very ineffective without play action, right? Mm-hmm. He needs play action. You give him play action, he can hit guys on a line down the middle between the numbers, right? And that pass, he's very effective in doing that. So I believe they will be able to do that. I also think that Purdy has a lot of pressure on him. They lose this game, even if he plays okay. He may not be the quarterback there next year. He may not be the starting quarter. They just sat down. They went after everybody. They went after Brady. I mean, they tried to get every single person to play quarterback. Turner
they told
Gill.
Them they
wanted
after
Turner
Brady,
Gill. I mean, they went after everybody still alive.
Trey Lance, remember that guy?
Yeah. Oh, God. I'm like, don't start Michael with that. But
Cowboys can trade Lance back to the Niners.
But I think there's a lot of pressure on him. And then for me, the X factor is Shanahan. I think he sucks in these spots. And people say, well, it's not fair that you assigned the loss of the Falcons. All they needed was to kick a field goal, and he's calling pass plays and getting sacks. I thought they were too conservative in the Super Bowl against the Chiefs. Yes, their defense gave up 2 touchdowns, but the offense did nothing in the fourth quarter. I thought the way he ended the half was inexcusable last week. Taking his total offense out of the game, running it down to the last snap. I don't know. I don't know in a big spot whether he's going to come up and do all the things he does when there's no pressure on him in regular season games, when you're rolling and calling all these plays in your script. So I'm not saying the Lions win this game. I think it's going to be more competitive than people think. I think it's a 1-score game. And I think if the Lions get to the lead, watch out.
Yeah, I mean, from a spread standpoint, that's why I was looking at the first half with the Lions. The game will be interesting. Maybe I can end game it if I see something developing. But here's the tell for me. And this goes back to Harbaugh. Coming back to the National Football League, he runs football, and he's going to run the football even with Justin Herbert. The two top teams in the National Football League right now, Baltimore and San Francisco, they're both 50-50 pass-run ratio. Everybody else is still trying to pass it, right?
60-40.
Yeah, they want that ratio, which was the norm. But now we're getting back to my era of football. Will balanced attacks really help you out? The balanced attack for San Francisco helped out Brock Purdy tremendously. We saw what happened when they weren't running the football, and he's dropping back. He's challenged a little bit, and everybody knows that. That doesn't make him a bad quarterback. He's just challenged. He's not Elway. He's not Marino. He's not Aikman, right? But he is Brock Purdy that needs play action. He needs a running game. Same thing with Lamar Jackson. But the difference with Lamar Jackson is that if they can't run the football, if they can't pass it, he's Lamar Jackson. He'll run it, right? Mm-hmm. He'll turn this game into a Pop Warner game, and he's fantastic doing that. Brock Purdy is not that quarterback. So without a running game, he is in a drop back, and he is susceptible to mistakes, right? And to your point about Detroit and that defense, I mean, they rose to the occasion against Dallas on the road.
Yeah, I gave up a lot. Lamb had the best day of his career.
But they only gave up, what, 20 points in that game,
points
right?
Points-wise.
Points-wise.
There was another touchback in that game.
Both teams left a lot of points on the field.
They did.
Both teams left a lot of Lamb points.
I also look at it that they beat Dallas.
They should have
been a 2 seed, or they could have been a 1 seed, depending on that L.A. and San Francisco game, right? Mm. San Francisco rested their starters. We know that, and they lost that game. And we know LA, they obviously wanted the Rams to get to the playoffs and all that. But anyway, I can make a strong argument, at least to myself, that Detroit is a 2 seed, not a 3 seed, and perhaps could have been a 1 seed.
They just got outplayed by the 7 seed.
That's what I'm saying. I look at Detroit and I'm like, they've been playing like a 7 during these playoffs. Like, they got outgained by the Rams. They got outgained by the Buccaneers. Like, I just find it hard that this defense going on the road, having to travel and rise to the occasion against the best play caller in the National Football League. I don't see this going well for the Detroit Lions. Like I said, like on primetime last night, I laid 6.5. I'd lay 7. I laid laying 14.5.
Did you lay 14.5?
Yeah, I laid plus 250.
But not 21.5.
I didn't lay 21.5.
4-1. Put up a nickel, but it's for a nickel or nothing.
Is that play caller challenge though? Like, it's a difference when you are Mike Shanahan and you're running the ball with Terrell Davis, but yet if things aren't going right, you can throw it with John Elway. Like if you're not running the ball right,
you can run it with Kurt Warner, or you can throw it with Dave Craig.
And I'm serious. It's like, what do you do if you? I think Kyle, to your point, he has been challenged calling plays because he knows he has to run the football.
You just Debo's health a factor in your handicap of this game?
No, because he's going to play.
Yeah, he's playing.
Now, how effective he's going to be, I don't know. But can they dress it up? Absolutely. And that's what San Francisco needs to do offensively.
Do you think Tampa's run game is better than what we saw from the Niners this year?
No.
Because Tampa ran the ball all right against
the
Detroit
Lions. They got better along the year and during the year running the football.
Fuck Canales.
Canales is now a head coach in Carolina. Run game Moses, Dave Canales. Will Hill joins us next year on the Lombardi Line.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Up FFA, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
With Omaha Steaks, you'll fall in love at first bite with their tender steaks, juicy burgers, air-chilled chicken, and more. It's air-chilled. I'll tell you about that. You're going to love every bite. It's Omaha Steaks guaranteed. And for a limited time, when you go to omahasteaks.com/VSiN, you'll get 4 free air-chilled boneless chicken breasts and 4 free rich, juicy, boneless pork chops with your order. Minimum purchase may apply. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Palm, Mike Pritchard hanging out here and joining us as we continue along on this Football Friday ahead of Conference Championship Sunday. It's our buddy Will Hill, VSiN contributor, also host of the Shoulda Bet More podcast, contributor to the Bear Bets podcast. The man has 17 jobs, as we said, to start the show. Will, thanks for taking some time to hang with us here for a little bit as we discuss the AFC title game. Right now, the market, Ravens 4-point favorites, totals 44.5 here. You like the side in this game?
I'm going with the Chiefs. I know it's overly simple to just say, hey, you're getting points with Mahomes and you go that way. I know Baltimore's better and they're home. And, you know, it's funny. I went back and rewatched parts of Buffalo, Kansas City last week. The Buffalo crowd wasn't really a factor. I'm sure Baltimore will be more, just in terms of the crowd noise, they'll have more of a home field advantage. But still, to me, this is a Ravens team. I know that DVOA loves them, all these stats. It's still a team that was tied 10-10 with the Texans at half. Texans miss a kick. It would have been 13-10. I know Baltimore ran away with the game. The Rams moved the ball up and down the field on them. Stafford, I think, had 300 yards passing, 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. The Steelers beat this team once with their regular guys, once the Ravens backups. To me, this is still like if you're in the fourth quarter of a close game, I want Mahomes over Lamar. I'm getting 4 points to boot. I'm just going to take the points. I can put my head on the pillow at night saying, hey, I lost with Mahomes and Andy Reid. I lost taking the points. The other side of a field goal, I'm going to take the Chiefs here.
You know, a man with 17 jobs is like a team with 2 quarterbacks, Mike. I'm just kidding around with you, Will. I'm going to follow up on this point because it sounds like you're telling me that you think the Chiefs are the better team here.
I don't know that they're the better team. I just think, We've seen this with LeBron's teams, whether it's with the Cavs where he took some lousy teams to the finals, or some of these playing teams with the Lakers that he gets deep into the playoffs. You have to give Mahomes and Andy Reid a little bit of a bump in the playoffs. I think they go through the motions a little bit in the regular season. Now you could say, hey, they've played some bad defenses, some beat up defenses with Miami and Buffalo, but boy, they've looked like a different offense the last couple of weeks. They were unstoppable last week for the Chiefs. People talk about the missed kick. I mean, Mahomes was very likely going to win that game anyway if you give him a minute change to score. And I thought the Chiefs, I mean, what, 8-something yards per play. The Chiefs have been really good on offense here. I just think that, and you hear this from the film guys too, where Andy Reid saves his good plays for the postseason. There's a special part of the playbook that he's not going to show you during the regular season against the likes of the Raiders and the Broncos. But when the games count, when it's the playoffs, it's single elimination, he breaks that part of the playbook out. So I think it'll be a close game. I think it'll be a toss-up game. Even if you're down 10 late, you got the back door open. So I'm going to take the Chiefs here plus the points. I know it's interesting. We always hear, oh, the sharp side is this or that. I've heard plenty of sharp guys on both sides. So should be a lot of fun. I'm excited for these games. It's sort of sad once football ends. It's, you know, after these two games, it's a long time to the Super Bowl. It's a long time to March Madness. So got to enjoy these two while we can.
Yeah, well, I love what you said there. I mean, the creativity from the Chiefs is off the charts. But now it's Matt Nagy instead of Eric Bieniemy and Andy Reid. And I think it's different in that regard. Now, what you said about Mahomes and his impact, I mean, we saw Valdez-Scantling making plays, right? I mean, Patrick Mahomes gives that effect to his teammates, especially in a game like this. I think a lot of those guys are going to step up. But it's just all the options I see for Baltimore. I was going to ask you from an in-game perspective, because right now you're okay, plus 4, minus 110 right there. From an in-game perspective, sometimes I'll see that juiced up. But yet, still in the fourth quarter, I'm aligning with you, because I think if this game is a one-possession game in the fourth quarter, you have to side with Patrick Mahomes.
Yeah, and if you shop around, there are some markets where you could just bet the fourth quarter right now. I think you can get the Chiefs plus a half a point. I don't mind that bet. The Chiefs have played a lot of low-scoring second halves. Mm-hmm. The fourth quarter can be sort of garbage. If it's a blowout, sometimes it can be garbage time. Not that I expect it to be a blowout, but hey, crunch time. Like, I'm a huge Lamar fan. I thought all these teams were crazy for not trading for him. He's about to win his second MVP. He doesn't need me to validate him. But look, game on the line. If it's 20-20, do you want Mahomes or do you want Lamar? I'm taking Mahomes. He's been in this spot. I thought Lamar and Baltimore got a little confused last week by the blitz against the Texans. They got bogged down. They had a bunch of three and outs. If that was not the Texans on the other side of the field, they could have gotten beat last week easily. They were not that sharp. So it should be a fun game. I don't know if you want to get into some of the props here. I think my favorite prop here, I think both quarterbacks are going to run a lot. Lamar's at 64.5. Mahomes is at 25.5. To me, like, especially Mahomes, he's going to drop back to pass. As much as I like the Chiefs in this game, there aren't a lot of guys getting open routinely. This is not his best group of receivers. So the easiest thing to do sometimes is to tuck and run. And, you know, he's not going to do that all regular season. You're going to get hurt that way. But hey, this is the playoffs. Everything's on the line. He's had a history of running against Baltimore before, and Baltimore, you know, plays a lot of man to man. So there should be some running lanes. To me, that 26.5, 25.5 shop around, I think that's a little light. And same with Lamar. I think it'll be a run heavy script for Lamar. So I would bet him now, because I think both quarterbacks rushing will get bet up too. In these playoff games, I don't think you can go wrong betting on these quarterbacks to run, especially the running quarterbacks run even more.
Yeah. Any interest in the anytime touchdown scores for Lamar or Patrick Mahomes? Lamar's is plus 105, not as juicy, but Mahomes is plus 475 anytime over at DK.
Plus 475 interests me. I always feel like I don't bet these anytime a lot. I feel like you're never getting like a great number. Sometimes McCaffrey's like -3, -400 to score one. It's just kind of crazy. Mahomes is 28-1 to score the first one. That might be a little interesting, like a little half unit on 28-1 to score the first touchdown, plus 475 anytime. I don't mind that. I think he's going to run maybe some alternate rushing totals. I remember they played the year of COVID. They played on Monday Night Football, and Mahomes ran for a touchdown. He ran for the first touchdown. It was like 35-1. So it's possible. I think that man-to-man defense lends itself to more quarterback runs for sure.
I want to talk to you about the game itself, Will, and seven and a half in a lot of shops. We're split here on the panel. Pritch likes Lions first half. I took 7. Femi went every which way with the 49ers. He's laying 21.5, 24.5, 17.5. The Lions don't belong on the field. The Lions shouldn't have made the play. A lot of stuff here. What is your feeling about 7? Do you have a feeling one way or the other on the 7?
I think no matter who you're betting, you got to get the best number. If you're betting the Lions, you got to get the hook, because the hooks are out there. Or at least they were out there. And I think This will be interesting. This will move based on the news of Debo. If Debo gets ruled in, I think it'll be 7.5. Maybe you see the 8, which hasn't been a key number, but it's becoming more of a key number with these teams down 14 going for 2. Boy, there's a lot I don't like about the 49ers that I saw last week. I didn't like the defense, the quarterback, who I'm a fan of, but he did not play well. The offensive line, I thought, got pushed around. What Shanahan did before the end of the first half was completely ridiculous. He gets very conservative in these spots. That being said, I can't get past the Lions letting up 8 yards per play against the Rams, almost 7 yards per play against the Bucks. That's at home in Detroit, the crowd noise. Those are lesser offenses. Shanahan is going to find some holes in this defense. I think San Francisco is going to move it at will. My favorite bet here is San Francisco team total over. Again, you could shop and get your juice, 28.5, 29.5. That 30 is a key number. So to me, 30 plus, let's call it. 3 touchdowns, 3 field goals. The 49ers are going to move the ball. The weather's fine. I guess I would lean towards laying it. I know that the other game's not really in teaser range. You could tease it down. I guess I would lean towards laying it. But to me, there's better ways to play it than just take the 7 or lay the 7. I'd be surprised if the 49ers didn't win this game, though. Like, the Lions winning the Super Bowl, that's the only team I can't see getting to or winning the Super Bowl. I think the other 3 teams fairly even matched.
Will Hill says he would lean towards laying it there. And just for tracking purposes, so we're accurate, I laid 6.5 and I laid 14.5 plus 250 in alt line there with the Niners. Wow. I like the Niners big.
I'm giving
game.
Him 21.5 plus for $4, 4-1.
I'm contemplating. I'm
booking it. If he wants to bet a nickel, we'll let Pritch hold the money. Come on, can I, 450 plus 450. I got to bet you into this bet.
We got until the end of the show to figure this out. We got until the end
this
of this.
This is a high variance game because Campbell, who knows what he's going to do in this game. Yep. He's the underdog. He knows he's the underdog. Remember, they played week 18 against the Packers last year. They were eliminated and they played so fast and so loose where they were, you know, doing hook and ladders. They were fake punting. He might go for every fourth down, 2-point conversions. Who knows what he'll do? He knows he doesn't have the better team. This is a house money game. So that could work either way. Like if you get stopped in your own territory, if you fake a punt, like this could swing either way. So I don't, you know, mind playing the alt here where I think Campbell's unpredictability introduces a lot of variance to this game.
Campbell, when they go for it on 4th and 1 on the opening drive and get stopped, I'll be feeling good.
The championship Sunday's fine and well, whatever. We got to wait a long time for what about tonight? We got the game. The game, Stanford and Cal. There'll be 2,500 rabid fans at Hotz Pavilion. You're laying 2.5 with the fighting Mark Madsens. Come on, tell us about it.
Give me Cal. I think Mark Madsen's going to do a good job. This is a young team. Stanford has not played well away from home. College basketball, as we know, home court is so important. Stanford has really had some clunkers here. So to me, Cal's an improving team, a young team. I think they'll play well in their building. Big rivalry game. We need a little appetizer before the football this weekend. So give me Cal here, -2.5.
There we go. Hotz Pavilion. There's Cameron Indoor, then there's Hotz Pavilion. I'll let you know which one falls into which category. He is the great Will Hill. Check him out over on the Shoulda Bet More podcast. Will, congrats on the new pod. Also on the Bear Bets podcast over at Fox Sports. VSiN contributor, nonetheless. The man is all over the place. He has great analysis. Will, we appreciate the time. As always, good luck with the bets, man.
All right, good to see you guys. Appreciate you having me.
Yeah, good stuff there. Laying the 2 in the hook with the Golden Bears.
Everybody's feeling better over there.
I'm not sweating the thing. I'm telling you, I said everyone to go ahead and lay Niners against Jacksonville. I got a good read on this team. I think this is the week they put a big performance up there. See what happens.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Timmy Abbefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Become a VSiN Pro subscriber today and get unlimited access to our VSiN.com/picks page. I mean, we had Will Hill on in the last segment. He's rolling with the points in the AFC title game. +4 with Patrick Mahomes? How could you go wrong? For more VSiN Pro picks, become a VSiN Pro subscriber today. The Lombardi Line will give you 10% off an annual subscription when you use promo code Lombardi. Welcome back. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network. Mike Pritchard on the far end, Mike Palm in the middle, Femi Abbefe here on the left side of your screen. Thank you to Will Hill, who joined us in the last segment there. He's got his new podcast, Shoulda Bet More, also a part of the Bear Bets podcast, as well as a VSiN contributor here across the network.
I gotta tell you, I don't think Will Hill put enough respect on Lamar Jackson. It was Mahomes. All the guy's done is won a Heisman and about to win a second MVP.
Nobody's ever done that, right?
No, I don't.
Multiple MVPs and a Heisman? He's a pretty good football player, huh?
Oh, he turns the game into Pop Warner. He does. He's incredible.
It's because Lamar, obviously, this year was the best quarterback in the league just from the regular season standpoint, but Mahomes is still Mahomes, and that's why you're not laying it, you know?
Yeah, I'm
it's like, are you giving Will a hard time? It's like, where's your Ravens ticket?
But he's everybody says Baltimore's a better team, but in the playoffs and he's like making the argument, oh, this team went up and down the field on and the Rams, they're not that good. They were tied at 10. They gave up a punt return. They were tied at 10. It's a very misleading score. And I thought Coach of the Year, D'Amico Ryans, did a great job going away from tendencies with the blitzes, right?
Sure.
He never rushes five. They rushed five. When are they going to announce that? I begged him to bet Jaden Daniels. You said, Femi, operate from a position of comfort. I had
Daniels. We were covered on that
1/20th of what he had on Bodacious.
How are you situated with futures in?
We're good, man.
You're good?
We're good. Okay. I mean, Miles Garrett, I think that's going to get home. That's nice. I believe we were able to get a last second bomb on Will Anderson. So I bet that 25-1. I think he's going to end up winning Defensive Rookie of the Year.
It's all tied to Stefanski. So, everything's on Stefanski.
But, I mean, Stefanski was the jackpot, but it's still going to be a really, really good awards betting season for me. So I can't wait. Like, I'm looking forward to NFL honors. As much as I would love for Stefanski to go ahead and buy my new house, that's not going to go ahead and work out for me, but it's still going to be a really good award season.
Buy your new house.
I mean, the Stefanski
you
was
would make
lure.
More on Stefanski than you would have on Bo?
Double.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, I shouldn't.
And you're just
so
rubbing
happy,
it. And you're just
throwing, tell you're throwing 20 daggers to 1 with 3 weeks to go. He was 20-1.
But honestly, the point that you brought up, though, as like the Pro Football Writers Association, they announced D'Amico Ryans was their coach of the year. Pretty predictive of what the AP will end up doing on NFL honors. But what you're saying, though, was a really good just tip for awards betting is like, hey, like, it's never over till it's over. And Stefanski was -1,000 heading into week 18 to where I'm sitting here. I'm like, okay, like, I think he's going to win it, but. Like you brought out the scenario, what happens if Houston wins? I didn't think it was going to resonate that much with the voting block. It clearly did. And D'Amico Ryans is probably going to take it home. But I mean, if Gardner Minshew just throws a good pass and the Colts win, I think Stefanski wins in a runaway. But hey, you know, didn't go my way.
I don't blame Gardner Minshew.
I blame him.
Jonathan Taylor twice JT turns the ball upfield. They have a first down. He twice went out of bounds on that series where they got stopped on fourth.
But that's why I love and hate betting on awards, because something that goofy decides ultimately
who wins. I think he
wins
it whether they win or not.
No, he would not.
Look at that roster. Who was he throwing the ball to?
They're not voting the guy who didn't make the playoffs coach of the year.
Stefanski had all the greatest defense of all time.
He would have been out.
He had the great running back. I mean, what did he want?
The Texans would have missed the playoffs.
Nobody thought Deshaun Watson was going to be any good. Who cares that four? He had 8 quarterbacks this year. Nobody cares about that.
Nobody's done in league history. I don't know.
No. It's not over yet. They haven't announced it.
They haven't announced it.
So it's a choice. I think it was the closest race of all the markets. Maybe the defensive, but.
Yeah, I think Coach was the closest.
It was a really good race. Steichen had a great argument, too.
Nobody was talking about it, though.
All year, nobody talked about that. And they D'Amico, were like in a playoff position all year.
If they complete those passes, they win the division instead of the Texans, but nobody said a peep about Steichen.
When did Lamar win MVP? Dolphins game?
I think so.
I thought he won MVP in that Christmas night when Purdy lost his mind and threw the through all the
I think
Purdy was still -$2 going into that game.
He was.
And it was 20-1 after the game.
It's all chaotic.
I want memories of Christmas Sunday.
It's all chaotic. It is all chaotic. And like, I'm sure the Purdy people are feeling like how I felt with my Bo Nix ticket, where you think they're like, oh man, we are right there. If we just get this one result, we're home. And he just bleeped the bed essentially on Christmas night, and like your Purdy tickets of 60-1 that were out there in October.
Remember the
none
great
of those
prop
cash.
Swap before that game where the guy sold that ticket.
That's right.
That
we talked about
the year, right?
It is the move. How is it not the move of the year?
Move of the year.
Guy sold out for all that.
$125 He sold.
Oh my god!
Paid $200.
That's and I was saying, let it ride. Like, I'll put my hand up. I'll say, I was the first person saying, hey, you're a 5.5-point favorite at
you're
home.
You're Dan Campbell. You just won't admit it. He is Dan Campbell.
That's why I hate him so much.
Self-loving.
Self-loving.
Brock became a verb, though. You got brocked.
You got brocked.
You got brocked.
You got brocked. Maybe that's a new awards term.
Sure.
Got through 4 interceptions on Christmas night.
Or an adjective. Take your pick.
Anywho.
During a game, bro.
Speaking of Brock Purdy's teammate, Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
Questionable right now. His status is uncertain. We both believe that he's going to play. Like everyone on this panel, like right, like Paul, you think?
I think he'll play. What percent is he going to be?
Yeah,
right. They said that he could have had a fracture or something in there, and that didn't come true. So it's a pain thing, right? At this point, so if it's a pain thing, it's an NFC Conference Championship game. Give me the good stuff. Let me go out there and see what I can do for as long as I can do it. I don't know how effective he's going to be, though. You know, how restrictive he's going to be. I mean, he's a physical player. Catching a rock, maybe you look for Debo to be more of a runner, be involved in a running game, certainly return game. But yeah, this guy, he's not good. I don't think he's going to miss this game.
He doesn't strike me as the type that would miss this game here. No. And like NFC title game, home game, chance to go to the Super Bowl. Right. He's 12-1 to have the most receiving yards. I think that's a fool's errand betting that one just for like this game in particular, just because, like you said, there's a good chance he's just not going to play. I'm sorry, that's 12-1 for the whole weekend.
For the whole week.
For the two games combined to have the most receiving yards. Ayuk is the favorite, which I agree with, just based on the matchups on that Detroit secondary there. But I just, Debo, I think he's going to be more so decoy than anything in this spot here. These numbers, of course, courtesy of DraftKings.
We did the poll question yesterday on primetime with the passing yards one. And Goff was the runaway leader of the people, the 600 or whatever, 580 people that voted. I actually said I would take a shot with Lamar Jackson at 8-1 just because of the price. I would try to make an argument it's one of the people in the first game, just because if Detroit can get to the lead and be effective, they're going to run the ball and shorten the game, right? And I actually think I would have put this poll question up, but it doesn't have an objective conclusion. But which of these four quarterbacks, I'll ask you guys, and I know what his answer won't be, Femi's answer, but which of these four quarterbacks is most likely to throw a clunker in? In other words, have a very bad game this weekend.
I mean, because so much pressure is going to be on him and he is susceptible to fumbling the rock. I mean, Lamar Jackson.
I think it's Lamar.
It could be. I mean, Brock Purdy, I don't know if Kyle wants the game in Brock's hands.
But can Brock have a bad game and the 49ers still win? Can Brock turn the ball over twice and be under 60% completion percentage and they still dominate the Lions?
Well, if they're running the ball well, yeah, absolutely.
You think they'll be able to effectively run the ball and be one-dimensional?
They can run the ball. They can run the ball against anybody. We know that. They've proven that. Eventually, they're going to have an explosive play in a running game, too, to take some pressure off Brock. Lamar, I'll go back to this stat. Lamar had 16 fumbles. He lost 11 of them. He got sacked 37 times, which is on the high end.
You think it's ball security, hand size? What goes into that?
I think ball security in terms of maybe running around the way he runs, you know, in traffic and all this stuff. He's not a normal ball carrier. He's not toting a rock 25 times a game. And sometimes you get between the tackles, you don't know where some of those arms and stuff. And we've seen him punch the ball out. They perfected that now in the National Football League about punching the football out.
What kind of a home field advantage is Levi Stadium? Can it be an intimidating atmosphere? I'm just thinking as far as Goff. Right. If things go badly for Goff early, does that snowball? Will that atmosphere be? Because that's not really portrayed as a tremendous home. You wouldn't rank Levi Stadium as a top 10 home advantage, right, in the National Football League?
Oh, I mean,
they dominate there.
They dominate.
They're good. They're a good team, right. Not because it's such an intimidating environment.
Yeah. I mean, it's a vertical stadium. It can get loud. I think the weather plays a big part of the success up there. Like if Goff is playing in elements and weather, then yeah, I mean, it's not a good bet. It's not a good bet though.
I would avoid Goff in this market just because I think why he's 2-1 is that, if they get down, they're going to throw the football. I think if they get down to where they have to throw all the time, I think it's going to end poorly for Goff. Like I don't see him in that. He is more so in the neutral game state. That's when he has a lot of that success. If it's, we know you're passing and we can just pin our ears back. No,
but they didn't get the love though. Green Bay, from a pressure standpoint, where was Bosa, right? And this is a better offensive line.
That was a negative game state for much of that game though. Like the Packers were in control and probably should have won.
Green Bay's offensive line was phenomenal in the playoffs. In both games, he sat back there and could wait for receivers
sipping
to come
tea.
Out. But yeah.
Just sipping tea really, back there.
Really, I do really have a great. Concern about the 49ers being able to get pressure, though, on Goff.
Yeah. If they can, then it's over.
Well, if you can, because he's immobile, right?
He's a pocket guy.
Love can move around.
Yeah. Well, if they block the 49ers, maybe over 51.5 is the bet that we should be making.
Bear, Chris Felica, Will Hill's partner. Best bet is Lions team total over 20.5.
We'll wrap up the show on the other side. This is the Lombardi Line here on the DraftKings Network.
This is the Lombardi Line with Mike Palm and Mike Pritchard. Now here is your host, Femi Abebefe, on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NFL playoffs, is bringing you an offer that'll help make the playoffs electrifying. New customers can bet $5 on any game and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and use code VEGAS only on DraftKings Sportsbook. With code VEGAS, the crown is yours. Welcome back. This is the final segment here of the Lombardi Line on the DraftKings Network. Femi Abebefe, Mike Paul, Mike Pritchard here on a Football Friday ahead of Conference Championship Sunday. Now, in the last segment, Mike, you asked Pritch and I about which quarterback do you think is most liable to have a clunker on Sunday. I think my answer might get spicy. I think I'd go Mahomes, to be honest. And it's not just a roof of my bed.
I also think there's different goalposts for each quarterback. Okay, you said clunker, right?
Yeah. Like, I don't think Mahomes is going to have a 5-interception game.
Mahomes and Purdy have the same game. It might be a clunker for one and
solid
acceptable.
Game.
Yeah, acceptable win for the other.
It could be. I just think that the reason why I would identify Mahomes is just that he's going up against the best defense by far of all the quarterbacks. And I think that on the road against that defense, if the game gets away from that, like, we've seen Mahomes have like the Super Bowl against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where it wasn't his fault because the offensive line was banged up and they couldn't block anybody. But sometimes when these games get away from you and it starts to avalanche, that's my only fear teasing Kansas City.
Is that a clunker, that Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Did you categorize
to his standards, yeah, I guess. So. To his standards.
Yeah. I guess the number one thing
would be... The Bengals loss might have been worse, honestly, the next year.
The number one thing we would say is turnovers, right? Interceptions, fumbles, in some part, as you talked about Lamar. And we've talked about, they have turned the ball over.
Yeah.
He has thrown interceptions at a higher rate this year, Mahomes.
Patrick Young.
Yeah, so it's interesting.
So I can't recall too many clunkers in his career, though.
He's the man.
Yeah. I mean, he lost the game against the Rams. We talked about this one where he threw 3 interceptions, but yet he still scored over 40 points.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, he'll overcome a clunker if he's having a clunker. That's the kind of thing. But that defense, you have to respect that defense if you're looking to bet this game. And I do. That's why I haven't taken the points. I think if there's a situation where we get close to that fourth quarter, I'm absolutely looking for Patrick Mahomes to prevail and perhaps have a situation where I can catch points.
Yeah, the worst half Mahomes has played in his career was second half of that Bengals AFC title game when they lost it overtime to Cincinnati. Like that, there still needs to be an investigation on what was going on with that game. I was like, this does not look like Patrick Mahomes. Maybe somebody else has taken his uniform. Which potential Super Bowl matchup are you guys most excited about? Like, which one would kind of get you guys, like, I mean, it's the Super Bowl. You're gonna be fired up regardless, whoever it is. But like, which one would you want to see?
Well, I mean, financially, I'm motivated not to have Baltimore because that's a big liability for us. Mm. But I would like to see them as a fan and probably from a betting perspective. I would love to see Baltimore-Detroit just because if I could get a hold of this DraftKings look ahead. If somebody else out there mirrors it, obviously I can't bet the DraftKings number.
Say, we're not allowed
it's
to
3.5, though. We're at 4.5 in our look ahead. I think that's short, too.
It might be a little short.
I watched this game because I took the points with Detroit that day. I watched the entire first half, and I turned it off. It was total domination. Baltimore was getting holding calls. They were like in 1st and 20. Boom, one pass. Boom, 2nd and 18. Boom, first down. And they had pressure on Goff. Goff was throwing the ball into the ground. They just absolutely dominated them. Their offensive line, with great offensive line, could not hold up against that defense. I would, from a betting perspective, I think that's the most opportunity. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't mind Kansas City in there. You know, I think Kansas City will be an entertaining game because of Mahomes. I guess you could argue you want to see San Francisco, Baltimore, the rematch to see if Purdy has a halfway decent game if they measure up. What's that line going to be? I mean, depending on how...
DK says 1.5 right now.
Yeah. Any fatigue with Kansas City?
I don't know.
I mean...
Do you? Are you against Kansas City? Did you get Patriots fatigue?
No, I didn't. Mm-hmm. I love dynasties. I love...
You do?
Yeah, I do.
Patriots played exciting Super Bowls, too, so it was actually kind of fun seeing them.
Did you get Nebraska fatigue in the 90s when Tom won 3 out of 4?
They got Colorado fatigue. They did, absolutely.
Here we go.
All right.
So did Notre Dame, by the way.
Oh, stop.
I'm not
they
stopping.
They scored
talk all day about
they scored 10 points.
That's
and
okay.
This is their life story.
When's the last time they won a championship? Notre Dame was last time?
What? I think Eddie Lacy was running through them like a hot knife through butter, I think. That's the last time.
He beat Major Harris, I'll tell you that.
The two number one seeds. I mean, a rematch. Yeah. Everybody, I think everybody wants
Ravens.
Yeah.
Who would you bet that game right now? We don't know the results of this, and let's just say say the game's a pick-em.
Yeah, everyone's
here
healthy.
Here in Las Vegas, everyone's healthy, full strength.
I saw Baltimore in person when they played the Raiders at Allegiant.
Yeah.
That speed, I would bet Baltimore.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Same.
The 49ers are the team of your lifetime here. They went to
Millennium,
Jacksonville. They went to Jacksonville and beat Dougie Fresh. They're gonna run Dan Campbell off the field here. I mean,
it'd go down to the quarterbacks. Like a pick'em game, I'm gonna go with the quarterback who's the 2-time MVP over Brock Purdy. That's what I would do. If that's the price, if it's pick'em, that's what I'm gonna do. But if it's Ravens out to 2.5-3, then I'd have to reconsider.
I don't think it can get there.
Yeah,
San Francisco's too good for that game to get away, the number to get away, I think.
I agree with you, though, that from a betting standpoint, like the Lions provide the opportunity against either team.
Right.
If you're telling me I only have to lay 3 with Mahomes against Jared Goff, come on. Come on.
Would you go back to game 1?
But didn't we see that game? Wasn't that game 53-51 or something?
That was 280 games ago.
But that was the Kadarius Toney game, right?
Exactly.
He threw the best.
I would be really interested in whether it's KC laying 3, Chiefs money line. I think it was -155 at DraftKings on the look ahead there. Like, I just, if Goff beats me, he beats me. But I've seen Goff in a Super Bowl. I've seen Mahomes in a Super Bowl. If all I have to do is lay 3.
I bet you couldn't be worse than Goff in that Super Bowl. And Lombardi nailed it. The whole 2 weeks said he's just going to have an awful game.
That total was like, 54.5, 55?
I made 28 bets on the game. I won 26 of them. All based on Lombardi. Yeah. No score in the first 5, 5.5, 6, 6.5, 7, 7.5, under first quarter, under first half, under all four quarters, under game. I actually said, I had Zerline at 100-1 for MVP. I said, if this game is,
you almost
had it. Was there. I mean, it was right there. I mean, he could have won it. It could have been a 6-3, 9-6. It was interesting.
I had Gronk MVP that Super Bowl, which if he caught that touchdown, he ended up catching it down to the 1 and they ended up scoring else. But like, Edelman won it that year. But there was
no buzz in Atlanta for that game either. I was at the Super Bowl covering it. And so do you guys buy into that? Like, for instance, there's going to be a ton of buzz for this Super Bowl.
Ridiculous.
Right. Do you guys buy into that or do you use that at all from a betting standpoint? Because that Super Bowl was so flat in Atlanta and then the game turned out to be flat as well.
It's one of the worst games I've ever had.
I
56.5 was the total is what our producer Elliot is telling you.
I always think a Super Bowl 13-3. Like, I can't handicap the atmosphere because it's supposed to be good and it's supposed to be neutral. Brett brought up a good point about, you know, the narrative about Mahomes has never played a road playoff game. Well, they were playing at Raymond James in the Super Bowl against Tampa.
That's right.
I mean, it's been a false narrative. I can't believe nobody.
But he didn't play well.
And then Reed could have let the half run out there too. Remember, and he called timeouts to try to stop it, and then he let him go down and score. There was some
iffy officiating.
What was the best Super Bowl for you? The greatest Super Bowl of all time?
Denver, Green Bay, and San Diego.
Helicopter.
They were a massive underdog. You remember what the line was?
I think it was 14. It was double digits, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I want to say it was double digits.
Green Bay had beaten New England the year before, and they were rolling. And to me, it's wide right was the best Super Bowl.
That's a great game.
It's a great game. I remember everything. It was golf. It was Whitney. That was the Whitney Houston. Was
awesome. Yeah.
Everything. The game plan from Belichick. I mean, that was everything about that game. Was just phenomenal, and it came down to the kick. Of course, I remember I was in Chicago for when the Titans were a yard short.
Yep.
We're almost there.
That's a game that during COVID I went back and watched because I'd never actually watched the broadcast of that game. Terrific game. There with the Belichick, obviously the Hall of Fame game plan, able to stop the KG gun. Packers were 11 in Super Bowl 32.
Yeah.
Total 50. So went over. Dog in the over, cashing that one. I mean, the spreads in those Super Bowls in the 90s and the 80s were just massive because the NFC had just been dominating the AFC. That was the first, that ended up, what, a 14-year drought, Denver winning that game?
I didn't believe in that. You know, it was a few years, but then that 35 points that Doug Williams put up against Rich Carlos in then Denver in that game was
ambush.
Right? They went after the Raiders beat the Redskins in the Coliseum. Then they went through that whole period where they dominated for a long time.
Buffalo had a lot to do with that as well.
When we come back next Friday, what would be the most shocking thing to happen in these two games that you just don't see happen?
Shocking. Mahomes having a clunker. That would shock me.
Yeah.
Yeah.
if Baltimore, well, if you think if Baltimore wins by 17, would you be shocked by that?
Yeah, semi shocked. I'd be surprised. How about that?
I would be most shocked if San Francisco won by distance. I think this is going to be really, I think both these games are going to be really good games.
Yeah. Well, I mean, maybe they will be. I mean, we always like championship games to be good ones. For me, from my betting perspective, I'm hoping it's not a good game.
Let's be honest, Vimmy. You're betting 1/100th of what you have in the future markets on any individual game.
The awards markets is where we go heavy.
Yes.
Barely any left for actual Sunday. Good luck with the bets, everyone. Sharp Money's coming up next.